Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chasing the Freedom. Thanks for tuning in again. So I'm excited to bring you today's guest. She's 22 years old. So how cool is that? Her name is Hannah Bugke, and she is a marketing rock star who makes brands and businesses come alive with social strategy. So what that means is she's the owner of a solopreneur business called HB and Me, where she offers services like social media management, virtual assistants, copywriting, she does public relations management, and organic and paid social media marketing. So she is from Los Angeles. She's currently thriving in Boise, Idaho. She graduated from Boise State, and I am so excited to have her on. Like I said, I can't wait to pick her brain and just let you guys hear all about how she's thriving in her location independent lifestyle. So Hannah, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be going to be so fun.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. Okay. So I just talked a little bit about your background and everything, but that was obviously a pretty brief overview. So I would love to just get to learn more about you and tell everyone like who you are, a little bit about your background story, where you came from, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved up to Boise from Los Angeles when I was 17 to go to college, and I had never really heard of Idaho. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that it had potatoes and that was the whole thing. And I got a really good scholarship, so it like wasn't really an option for me to go anywhere else. So I was like, okay, you know what? We are moving to Idaho. We're going to figure this out. And fell in love with it immediately. I was actually a math major. And decided that I was going to change the world in the STEM program and just like do all these cool things. And then I failed calculus.
No way. Oh my gosh.
So bad. And I was thinking, I have to find something else to do. Like, there's no way I can do this anymore. So I actually was online shopping in the class that I failed, which is probably why I failed it. I found through Victoria's Secret that they were doing a campus rep program. And so I just applied. I really had no idea what I was doing, no experience, just my own social media that really was pretty trash. And that was kind of just like where it all started. And I got the job and switched my major to communications and public relations like that day, and was just like, I'm going to go full force in this. So did that all throughout college, had 9 internships, which is super aggressive. I was doing the absolute most all the time, mm-hmm. and graduated early, and then got a job at a marketing agency here. And I was really excited about it. I was thinking that I was going to be, you know, taking over the digital space and doing all of this and progressing my way up in the business to eventually being, you know, like having a noteworthy position and making a lot of money and having a name for myself. And the honeymoon phase of that ended very quickly for me. Mm-hmm. I was doing work that wasn't inspiring me. It wasn't pushing me farther. It wasn't making me smarter or educating me or really giving anything back to me. And I felt like I was giving so much and just wasn't getting anything back. I would come home from work and just cry and lay in my bed and stare at the ceiling because I truly didn't have any drive to do anything. I let go of my health. I stopped talking to my friends. My life just became get through it, get through work so you can get home and just sit. I have really bad anxiety. So then it started being like, I'd get home from work at 5:30 and be like, okay, I have 15 hours till I have to go back into work. And just like, it just became this horrible, really sick obsession with just trying to get to the weekend, just trying to get to 5 p.m., just trying to get to my lunch break so I could go outside and like enjoy my life. It was really hard. And it was just detrimental to my life. And I kind of started thinking like, you know, maybe I could do this on my own. Maybe I could figure it out. And it was never really like a, I'll actually do it. It was more of just like a daydream of like, you know, maybe one day when I'm in my 30s, I can be a stay-at-home mom and run my own business. And it was never something that I was like, I'm going to do it. And so it got to a point where I told my boss that I was feeling the way that I was feeling and just kind of needed, you know, some sort of creative outlet. I had asked if I could start writing blogs for them or helping with their social media or anything to just kind of get my creative juices flowing again, because I felt like it was so pushed down in my body that I was like starting to lose it. And so he was like, okay, well, you know, we'll take this away and come back in a few days. And a few days later, he called me into the office with the CEO and they were like, we see you in a more creative role. And I thought, okay, perfect. And then they were like, so you can have this position till it's filled.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know if you call that voluntarily quitting or yeah. It's been over a year now and I still feel like so uncomfortable when I hear that, because I'm like, I was voicing my opinions and just wanted to find a way to fix things. And it was kind of just like, that was going to be the end of the road. So I started freaking out. I went into the stairwell and just cried, like during my work day on the clock, crying. Like, oh bad. And I was like, how am I going to tell my mom this? Like, how am I going to tell my family that I've only had this job for 2.5 months and I failed? Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, got an apartment that was really expensive. I bought a car. I, you know, was doing all these adult things and my life just started crashing and it was so horrible. And so I gave myself like 1 or 2 days to just kind of cry it out and eat my ice cream and like just be sad.
Yes.
And then after that, I was like, I have to figure this out. Mm-hmm. I have to do something. So I spent 17 hours building my website all in one day. I bought my domain. I did the whole thing and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to do it. And since then, you know, I haven't really looked back. It has been a year and 9 days since I launched my business. Wow. And it's just been unbelievable and so exciting. And so it's so great to just share that story and share like the highs and lows, because I think that people, when they're starting their own business, they think that it's going to be sunshine and rainbows. And my first year of business was so up and down that it almost broke me. I started applying to 9-to-5 jobs again just because I got so anxious and in my head, but it's tangible, it's doable. I did it. Everyone can do it. It's so exciting now to look back and be like, I did it and I made it. And
right.
Yeah, it's just so awesome.
Oh my gosh. I love that story. It's amazing. And I just love how you turned that whole situation at your own job. And it's like, it lit a fire under you to like, you're like, okay, I have to do this now because I have no other choice. You know, like I have to make it work for myself. And like you said, even though you were applying to jobs, you still realized that when you're in your 9-to-5, like you were talking about how your creative juices were so squashed and like you would get home every night and just be like, okay, like how many hours do I have until I go back to work? And I feel like so many people, especially probably our age, can relate to that. Always that mentality of feeling that pressure of, you know, I feel like I'm not getting any fulfillment out of this. And I just feel like kind of what's going on with my life. So I totally resonate. So yeah, I want to rewind a little bit, like going back to when you got whenever you were talking about, like, you don't know if it was like getting fired or like volunteer quitting or whatever that was. What did you think at that moment? Did you know right away that you wanted to make something happen for yourself? What was kind of that process like for you?
It's really funny because when I finally got the nerve to tell my family, I told my mom and I was just crying and crying, and she was very supportive of me. And it was like, whatever you need, like, let me be that resource for you. But it's so funny how the older generations react to this sort of idea and this sort of lifestyle. When I told my grandparents, so my grandpa co-signed my car. And he said to my mom, well, I guess I'm going to be getting a Honda Civic here pretty soon because I want to default my payments. That's like, it was this battle of like, I think I can do it, but I'm getting mixed reviews from the people who, you know, have given me life and have supported me through my whole career and have sent me money in college and, you know, whatever, like, how do I figure out if I can actually do it? And so at first I didn't think that that was an option. I didn't think that I would be able to figure it out. I spent that first day, those first 24 hours, applying to any job I could find on LinkedIn that was a 9-to-5 position. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to figure it out. I'm going to try it. And once I decided that that was how I was going to mold my life and my career, it was never an option for me to fail. It wasn't like, if this doesn't work, you know, I can move home, I can do whatever, I can get a smaller apartment, I can, you know, work at a restaurant. It was never like, if this doesn't work. It was always when this works. Because having self-doubt just takes so much of your time. Mm-hmm. If you are sitting and doubting yourself, you are losing hours and hours and days and weeks and months of your career just putting yourself backwards, putting yourself in reverse. And so it was like, how do I put myself in the driver's seat and just say, I'm going to do it. And I think that having that confidence is what launched my business and was able to make me so successful, is just being like, this isn't an option. This is what I'm going to do. And so maybe for a few days, I thought, you know, that it wasn't going to work and I was going to have to move home. And, you know, I felt just embarrassed and defeated. And then I was kind of like, no, I did this all through college. I pretty much, you know, ran my own little agency. I had 3 or 4 internships at a time. I did this. I can do it. So that's kind of how I built everything, and was just like, it was never an option. It was just a when instead of a what if.
Yeah, I think that's so great, because I think it's so easy to be like, oh, well, if this doesn't work, then I will do this. But I love how you are so confident about it. And you're like, no, I'm going to make this work for myself, because, you know, I'm just going to do it. So I'm just trying to think if there's other people out there who might not have that natural confidence, that they're like, well, I really don't know if I can do this, or like, I feel like I'm the only one who's struggling. And especially with going with the ups and downs of business, especially when you're in your early stages, like what you were just talking about, what would you, I guess, say to them? Like, do you think it's normal to feel this way? Like, what would you kind of tell someone who has that desire and they're like, well, I really want to do something for myself, but I just don't know if I can do it?
Yeah, I think that faking it till you make it is the most cliche but beneficial piece of advice I'd ever been given. Mm-hmm. Your potential clients don't know anything about you. They know what they see on your website and your presence on the internet. And I have a blog where I get real about the struggles of business. But other than that, I am positive. I keep my best foot forward at all times. You know, my first client did not know she was my first client. And she will never know she's my first client. And, you know, now I get to the point where I can brag, you know, I've had this many clients and I've done this much. But before then, it was, they have to buy into you. That's what they're buying into, is not your track record, not your pay stubs, not your success that is quantifiable, but who you are as a person and if you guys mesh. And so I just always came out with the way that I am, and was always just trying to, you know, I don't know if you watch Grey's Anatomy, but
I've seen a little.
Okay. Yeah. So they said this thing of doing like a Superman stance before they go into surgery, and just standing like chest open, feeling really confident for like a full minute in the mirror, and just being like, I can do this, and giving yourself positive affirmations. And I'd seriously would have to do that. I'd have to look in the mirror while I'm doing my makeup or whatever for a call and be like, you can do it. This is what you're going to say. And I would practice what I'm going to say, you know, like when people ask, okay, so tell me about yourself. I had a full pitch down that I wouldn't even skip a beat. I was never, and that's just the way my brain works, is having to memorize things. So I would just say, figure out what you're good at, find what, you know, your bread and butter is, and run with that, and run with it as far as you can. Because the second I would be with a client and I'd be like, well, you know, I could probably do that, was when I lost them. And I'd lost a few clients, potential clients, just because I didn't have an answer. So I just spent days in Barnes & Noble online reading every business book I could ever find. I have way too many now. I don't even know what to do. Like another bookshelf. You just have to give yourself the green light. I think that that was the hardest thing for me, is just to be like, I'm going to do it. And putting yourself full force and just coming up with, you know, your elevator pitch, and coming up with, you know, a way to make yourself feel confident and to feel beautiful and to feel strong and to just go in there and figure it out.
Yeah.
Once you get off the call, I take notes on all of my calls and I pick up on what they're saying. So if, you know, they're like, I want to start a podcast or I want to grow my followers, I write those things down and I give them the best, you know, fake it till I make it if I don't know what I'm talking about. And then the second I get off that call, I educate myself as much and as quickly as possible before I send them a follow-up email. So that way I can come back to them with tangible things of like, okay, I can edit a podcast. I can help you grow your following through this strategy that I found. Like you just have to educate yourself and you have to just come in there and act like you know what you're talking about. Even if you don't 100% and you're not 100% confident, if you keep saying, I don't know if I can do this, or I don't know if this is a, you know, business that I can really live off of, or if and when, and if you never stop saying that, you're never going to do anything. Mm-hmm. I am so glad that I was voluntarily fired, or whatever you want to call it, because it pushed me into this, and I don't think I would have done it without it. And so just like telling people, you have to push yourself. I was grateful enough to be thrown into it and to have no idea what I was doing, but you have to just jump. You have to just take the leap and just try. You know that quote that says, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Mm-hmm. I think that that is just the way that people should live their lives. Mm. And it's so tangible and it's so doable, and it's just like, you just have to go for it. You know,
I love that. And the whole time you were talking about that, I just kept thinking, I heard this on another podcast that they were basically saying, well, if you don't know something, then yeah, when you're talking to a potential client or whoever, then just say, yeah, I can do that. And then Google it. Like, you can literally Google everything. Like, and everything is so free.
Yeah. The resources are endless.
Endless.
You can pay for courses. And I think that it's a great investment, and it's a very easy way to kind of help have someone virtually help you walk through things. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton of free resources.
Oh yeah.
I've downloaded every ebook, every, you know, free course, every Pinterest graphic I can find. And I just have them saved on my computer as like resources. And anytime I need literally anything, I go into that folder or go on the internet. Like you said, there's so much accessible to us. There's no reason to not be able to do something.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree. Okay, so going back just a little bit again, for someone who might be thinking, okay, all this is great, so I would love to know exactly how she got her first clients or something like that. Could you maybe just give us the play-by-play of like, okay, you spent 17 hours building your website, so you got that up, and you're like, okay, I got to get clients now. What was that step-by-step process like for you?
Yeah. First, now looking at my business, I can be very picky with my clients. Mm. You know, I don't have to really work to get clients anymore. They kind of come to me, and that's just social proof and the hard work that I've put in. And I can be picky. But when you start your business, you cannot be picky. Mm. You need those clients. You need that money, because if you've just quit your job, or you've, you know, put in all of this effort and you're trying to really make this a thing, you need that money. And I hate talking about that, because I hate feeling like money rules me. I hate that feeling. But in the beginning, it does. It really does, because you have to be able to support yourself, and you have to be able to afford groceries and afford your rent and whatever. And So you have to take those clients. My first clients I found on peopleperhour.com. Mm-hmm. It's a website that is actually based in the UK. So it's kind of difficult to find clients because a lot of things are put in euros or like they're on an English time zone and you're like, okay, I have to wake up at 6 a.m. because I have to meet with this client when it's noon there, you know, whatever. Right. And you make it work. The second project I ever did was for this family in Poland trying to book their vacation. And I set up their whole vacation.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Realm of things that I'd want to do. But they were offering money and I found them and sent a proposal in and they were like, absolutely do it. It's so funny, like thinking back about those little mini projects that I picked up just to pay the bills, just to figure things out, just to keep me going. So I would definitely utilize those online resources. If you just Google remote jobs in your state or in your country, there are tons and tons of websites that will help you find those. And also join about every Facebook group you can find.
That's what I did. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely every Facebook group, you know, like women in business, small business owners of the USA, like any Facebook group that you can find that will have, you know, like remote workers of America, like just put that sort of thing in your mm-hmm. Facebook search and join all of them.
Oh my gosh. I literally joined like 50 like last yeah. year when I first started, I joined everyone and I was on them all the time, just like networking and doing whatever I could.
Yep. And that's how I get all my clients now is through networking. I don't yeah. have to do paid ads. I don't have to apply to jobs anymore. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, you have to grind and you right. have to put in that effort and time and just kind of take those clients that are not your ideal client. You can create your ideal client and have that, you know, in the back of your mind. But in the beginning, it's really just working really hard mm-hmm. to find whatever you can get. And they're out there. Mm-hmm. I thought when I started that I would never be able to find a remote job because, you know, what is remote work and whatever. But now if you Google like remote working, there's hundreds of articles saying it's the future of the workforce. It's the future of America. This is how work's going to go. I mean, there's big companies now that hire remote workers.
Oh, and Amazon yeah. hires a ton of remote workers. Yeah.
Everyone does. Everyone is hiring remote workers now. So the jobs are out there. I was worried that it's a very congested business and that we would be fighting for these jobs. And I'm like, there's probably a lot of girls out there like me who are, you know, young and upbeat and starting their own business and are, you know, just as positive and as confident as me. But it's never a competition. I heard like collaboration over competition and that like changed my whole world. Mm. It is not a competition out there. There's so much opportunity. So I feel like that was one of my big concerns is like, how do I get clients when it's so congested? And it's really not. You can find those jobs. They're out there. You just have to really work hard and find those resources for sure.
Yeah. I was just talking with one of my friends about that this morning, how she was saying she just feels like her market is so saturated. She's a blogger and she's like, I don't even know if there's any room for me to grow. And I told her, I was like, there's going to be people out there who resonate with you that aren't going to resonate with, you know, another blogger. And there's a reason why someone's going to be drawn to you because you have something that no one else has. And, you know, different people are going to connect with different people. So it's like, there's always room. There's room for everyone. And yeah, like you really can do whatever you want and it's never going to be oversaturated or no room for you because there's plenty of room. Okay. So switching gears a little bit, now that you're a little over your first year into your business, which is super exciting. Congratulations. Obviously this podcast is called Chasing the Freedom. One of the things that I really want to do is try to understand like what freedom means to different people and kind of like how your lifestyle is contributing to your version of freedom, whether you're there yet or not. What does freedom exactly mean to you personally?
Yeah. So this is something that I used to really shy away from talking about because I felt embarrassed, but now I feel so proud of it. I have horrible, horrible anxiety and went through battles of depression and I mean, it was horrible. I was in and out of the hospital. Probably I was in the ER at least 3 times a month on a panic attack where I felt like I was having a heart attack. They'd have to give me an IV of medicine. I mean, it was horrible. And I ended up needing to get an emotional support dog and like intensive therapy and all this medication and like everything. So freedom for me is just the ability to overcome my feelings and still be successful. And so for me, like, freedom with work meant the 9-to-5 life I knew wasn't for me. When I wasn't feeling inspired and I would have to leave my desk to go have a panic attack, I would have to go to a different floor where I don't know the people and go in a private bathroom and literally have a panic attack. And I would have to IM my boss and be like, I'm having a panic attack. I need to go upstairs. I'll be back. That is a horrible way to live your life. And it's like so painful. And being able to overcome that, and even like working at home, I mean, I'm not cured. There's no like complete silver lining of like, I'm amazing now. But if I need to go on a walk and have a panic attack, I can stop my work and go on a walk. And I can take a nap if I need to, or I can go, this is funny, but I go to Target when I get really stressed out. I don't know why.
I love that.
I can stop what I'm doing and go to Target. I can stop what I'm doing and sit outside in the sun and just like feel the sun. I can do what I want. So freedom for me is just the ability to put me first and have the freedom to do what I need to do to take care of myself. And that could mean a million different things. That could mean the freedom, the financial freedom to go get my nails done every month, or the freedom to go on vacation if I just need a break, or anything like that. But it's just the ability to be so myself that I don't feel like I'm hiding anything or that I have to suppress anything that is inside of me, and that I can just live so freely and just feel my feelings and, you know, do my best and not be reprimanded for that.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so brave of you that you're so open about that. But obviously that doesn't come easy. Like, that doesn't come naturally for you to be so open about that. That's something that you've really had to work through, but mm-hmm. you're obviously like at a good place where you can, you know, just kind of share your journey and let other people know that it's like, you don't have to be this like perfect person to do the things that you want to do. And like, you can still be, you know, a small business owner or whatever, and still, you know, have a lot of struggles, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And maybe another form of freedom is like when you were talking about how you were working your 9-to-5 and you felt super suppressed creatively. Do you think that this lifestyle is allowing you to like use your gifts and your skills and your talents the way that you feel like you should be using them?
Yeah. So all of my clients need different things. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I wear a lot of hats in my business of just being what each client needs. Mm-hmm. And so I get to be creative in 5 different ways every day. If I'm working on one client and I stop feeling creative, I switch to a different client. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to kind of just always feel fulfilled. And like, you know, I'm not always on. I'm not always like having all these great ideas, and I'm not 100% of the time like ready to go and ready to get out of bed and work. If that's the issue, then I just switch clients. Mm-hmm. I just put my stuff on pause for one client, move to another one, kind of immerse myself in their brand. And it just makes me feel creative in so many different ways, because they need such different things that I'm always at least creative in one of them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you know, like maybe I'm not feeling good about working on a client who needs help with branding, but I can help with a client who needs work with social media because I'm feeling really good about that today, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just a matter of finding what makes you creative in the moment, mm-hmm. and channeling that for your clients, which is why I don't have all the same clients. They all need different things. And so it kind of pulls me in all these different directions and makes me feel challenged and supported and creative every day.
I love that. Do you see yourself doing what you're doing for your clients now, like the same type of services and everything like that long term? Or where do you kind of see your brand like evolving and growing in the next couple of years? Or
actually, I didn't tell you about this, but you just set me up for it.
Oh, okay. I'm excited.
I'm completely rebranding.
Wow.
I did it literally 2 days ago. Because, you know, the first year was like, can I do this? Mm. Can I make this work? How do I make this livable? How do I find the right clients? How do I find my niche? How do I, you know, whatever. After a year, it transitions from how do I to how do we. And I feel like I'm always collaborating. I'm always working with my clients. It's not like a how can I serve you? It's how can we work together to serve each other? So my, you know, I came up with the idea of HB and me because that's my initials and me rhymes with it. And if the client says it out loud, you know, it sounds like
so HB. Catchy.
It's like cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
And I was like, how do I hire people under me? Like if I was in college and I got an internship, would I be excited to be like, I work for HB and me? And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I feel like it sounds to me and it's not about me anymore. And the first year it really was. It really was about everything that I want to do. And these are the clients that I want. And this is the way that I want my website to look like. And this is how I want to perceive myself to people. And I don't think it's about that anymore. I think that, you know, the more DMs I get, the more messages I get of like, how do I do this? It's like, how can I serve you instead of how are all these people serving me? So I'm completely rebranding. I got my inspiration from my college mentor. His name is Sam. He called our students rock stars. That's what he called his students. And it like changed my world. The day that I heard that, I felt bold. I felt strong. I felt like, you know what? I can do this. Like I don't know what it had to do with that word. Like it's a word I've heard 100 million times in my life. And like, why did it mean something to me right then? And he pushed me to start my own business when I had the whole issue with my job. He was the first person I messaged and I was like, Sam, I need help. And he replied, I sent this whole thing. All he replied is, no, you don't. And it was just like,
wow.
Yeah. He passed away last year and it was probably 3 months into my business. So he had saw my branding. He had given me comments on it and he had just been like, you're destined for more than this. I know it. So I am rebranding to the Rockstar Collective. It's completely in honor of him and the way that he has made me feel. And I'm so excited. And yeah, I'm really excited because, you know, I'm to the point where, like I said, it's not about me anymore. It's about what I can do for other people. Mm-hmm. And so a portion of all my income every quarter is going to go to a suicide prevention. I haven't picked one yet. I'm working on it. And it's going to be in his name. And it's just going to be how to bring a brand to life and how to flourish in this world and to honor him. And that's where I want my brand to go is I want to be able to hire people under me who inspire me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like, oh, I have too much work. I need an assistant. It's how can I bring someone into this world and like, you know, mentor them and nurture them and also have them, you know, help me, but how can I also help them? And so I think that I've transitioned from a very selfish approach to trying just every day very intentionally be less selfish and more selfless. And I think that the rebrand is exactly what I need. And it's just what's going to push me to the next level. And I'm so excited. So that's until the end of this year. That's what I'm going to be working on.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So many things I want to say about what you just said. I just feel like that was like a gold mine of goodness. I love the message that you sent to him where you're like pouring out your feelings and you're like, I need help. And he said, no, you don't. Because to me, that just makes me feel like if every person would just know how capable they are. And obviously he saw that in you, like, and you're over here like, oh, I need help. Like I need you to help me and everything. And he's like, you got this. And I feel like that's what people need to hear. It's like, it might come off harsh. You might be like, no, I actually really do need help. And yeah, you might need help sometimes, but at the end of the day, it's like, no, you're capable. Like you can do this. So I love that. Okay. So you're coming out with the Rockstar Collective and you're going to donate a portion of that to suicide prevention. I just think that is the coolest thing ever. And I'm all about philanthropy. Obviously, like with the lifestyle that you're living now and just being able to have more control, obviously, like because you have your own small business, you have more control over your finances and everything like that. Do you feel like you have a responsibility to give back or contribute to other people? Or where does that really, why did you decide to donate money?
Yeah, I do. I think I've always felt that way. Well, actually, no, I didn't always feel that way because, you know, I'd go to church and they'd do the part about giving and I'd be like, I don't have $5 to give, you know, in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go get a Starbucks after church or, you know, a sorority on campus would be doing a philanthropy night and I'd be like, oh, I don't have cash on me. Like go pull out $5.
Right.
Go, you know, just make yourself available, volunteer, do whatever. Like, if you can't monetarily give, that's fine. And, you know, I haven't really been giving in the last year, but now I'm at the point where, okay, is giving $5 gonna ruin me this month? Is giving $15 gonna change my life? Am I not gonna be able to buy groceries? No. You just kind of manage it. Or like, if I give $5 every month, am I even gonna notice that's coming out of my bank account? Like, you know, I pull for Hulu and for Netflix and I don't even notice it anymore. Like, what's $5? What's $10? What's, you know, whatever. And I feel like if you don't, I was actually went to the Girl Boss rally last year in New York.
Oh, so cool.
One of the speakers said, if you aren't committing part of your life to bettering other people and giving, you suck. You suck. That's what she said. And the room was just silent. And I was like, I suck. You know, like, oh my gosh, I've been selfish. I've been spending money that I don't need to spend on myself. I'm, you know, doing whatever. And so I think it's so important to give in whatever way you can. If that's volunteering, if that's tutoring, if that's monetarily giving, if it's just whatever, like, do something that's not for yourself. Because I feel like when you're in this business, like I said, it's so just about you. And it's like, why can't I just put that energy into something else? Like, I try to take on a client a quarter and do it pro bono. And so it's like, why wouldn't you give? If you can do it, why not? I feel so much better after I give. And so I feel better giving than I do watching my checks cash. You know, like, I just feel like I'm doing something better for the community. So when it came to my rebrand and it came that, you know, I knew that I was going to honor Sam, I wanted to make it a way that just made sense. That just made me feel good, because every day once I rebrand, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to think of him, and it's going to, you know, that's going to like be the forefront of my business. And so like, why wouldn't on the back end, I, you know, put my money where my mouth is.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, that's so good. And I just think it goes back to like, okay, if you are able to make a living doing what you love and like being in control of your finances, we are super, I mean, we're whatever you want to call it, we're blessed, we're lucky, like to be able to live the lifestyles that we do, then I feel like we're obligated to use that for other people. And it's like, we should use that for other people. I just think of that saying, it's like, to whom much is given, much is required. And using any of your skills or gifts or whatever in any way to contribute to others, I feel like that's just one of the most important things we can do.
Yeah, and it really helps you get out of your own head. If I'm feeling stuck or depressed or sad or whatever, I just try to get out and do something good for someone else, because it feels so good. Doing that in business was kind of a no-brainer for me. Why wouldn't I integrate that into the way that I run my business?
Yeah. Oh, that's so important. Okay, so last couple questions. This is one I'm most excited to ask you, so feel free to be creative with this and take it where you want. But if there was one thing that you wish other people would just get, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. That's actually easy. I don't know why I was thinking that that would be actually very easy for me. I think that we live in a world where social media is so prominent, and you know, I mean, it's what I do. It's, I make brands look good. You know, on the opposite side of that, I make my personal brand look good. My Instagram is all happy feelings and success and, you know, like woohoo and celebrations and popping bottles of champagne and like that. And I've gotten messages of like, how do you have the perfect brand? Or how are you, you know, getting the perfect client? I just want people to understand that that's not the way things are. You know, I don't every day do my hair and, you know, get all pretty and take a picture and I'm like Snow White out here. Like, life is so beautiful and whatever. Like, some days are really hard. And I wrote in one of my blog posts, for every celebratory clink of a champagne glass that I've made and publicized, there's been an equal number of tears shed on my bathroom floor. Just understanding that everyone has stuff. Everyone has baggage. And I think for a while I was living my life as poor me, you know, like I have all of these things happening in my life and no one could possibly understand. And it's like, everyone has those things. Everyone has something that has just broken their heart, has ruined them. Everyone cries in their bathroom or in their room, just feeling defeated. I mean, and I do it too. I look at people's social media and I look at their things and I'm like, I just wish I was that. I wish that I was that skinny, or, you know, I put down my sandwich I'm eating and I'm like, I need to go run because look at this girl, or I need to stay up till 2 a.m. tonight reworking my website because look at this girl's website and look at their success and look at, you know, whatever. And then there's just me. And I think that there's power in being just me. And I think that there's like so much power in just being yourself and just, you know, being real about things. And that's why I've tried so hard to make my blog less like woohoo and, you know, win, 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 and more like, this is the struggles. This is, you know, I pretty much got fired from my job. That's how I got into this. Like, it wasn't like I had all this money and I was like, what can I do now? I'm going to start my own business. You know, like, that's not the way that this life works. And I just wish that every person could just understand that nothing's going great for everybody. Every day is not a win. And, you know, I would say that I try to keep a majority of my days as good days, but not all my days are good days. Some of my days are really, really bad days. And so it's just like cutting people slack and, you know, caring about people and reaching out to people and just trying to be a better person, but realizing that like what you're seeing online is my highlights. You are not seeing, you know, my tearful conversations with my mother or me journaling on the bathroom floor because I didn't even have the energy to get up. Like those sorts of things. It's just so important to just exist and just support other people. And like, why are we tearing people down? Why are we putting mean comments on Instagram? Why are we sharing hurtful things on Facebook? Like, why are we just not building everyone up? Because I think that we're so powerful when we're all, you know, feeling our best. I just wish that you could understand that, you know, my life's not great. Some days it's not even good. Some days my life is horrible. Mm-hmm. But that I understand that so is theirs. And it's just like having that mutual understanding is so important. And I feel like that's what's missing in this world is just empathy for people. Mm. And that's what I wish everyone, myself included, sometimes, you know, I get sucked into that. I just wish we could all just get it.
Right. Know? No, that's so good. I don't know. I heard something from someone and he posted it on Instagram and he said, people don't need to be posting about the bad stuff happening for you to know that there's bad stuff happening in their lives. And that just goes back to like, you don't know what everyone's going through. And especially like going back to business and everything, like your first year was a roller coaster. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So just in every aspect of life, like you don't know what people are going through and it's no one's life is perfect and everyone's going through the same thing. So I think that's such a great reminder. Okay. So last thing, obviously you offer a bunch of different services and I know you're doing a whole rebrand this summer, but, if people are listening and they're thinking like, oh my gosh, like I want to know more about what she does. I like the work that she's doing. Maybe this is something that I want to go into. Do you offer any type of coaching or training, mentoring services, or can you maybe like direct someone in the right way?
Yeah, I absolutely am starting to offer coaching services and that will be a huge part of my rebrand. So for now, the best way to reach me and kind of talk about that is probably just Instagram because I'm not sure when my website's going to go down, but it will be soon probably. So yeah, I want to do brand building, coaching, strategy, just working through things with people. And I'm also working on a course. So people will be able to purchase that and just kind of go at their own pace of how to really start their own business. And it's going to just be so real and raw that it's probably going to alarm some people of like, you know what? Not everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. Like this is not the course that's going to say, you can do it and you're amazing. And it's not going to be like all of these things. It's going to be, we're getting down to the real raw basics of a business and how to build it up and like celebrating the successes, but also celebrating the struggles because we all did it. Anyone who started a business, no one just like overnight made $1 million. You know, like I see so many courses of like how to build a 7-figure business in 30 days. And I'm like, you are the exception. You're not the rule.
Oh, so true. Say it again. Just kidding. For real though.
In the back, like,
yeah.
I'm building courses and building ways for people to actually get through their business and to figure it out and to kind of work through those roadblocks. And that's just like, that's my passion really is. Mm. And I didn't really notice that I could be good at it until I started getting all these messages about it. And I was like, I should do something with this.
Yeah.
Well, so that's, yeah, that's my next move.
Awesome. So that'll be coming out with your rebrand this summer, you said.
Yes. End of July, beginning of August.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I'll put your website and your Instagram in your show notes so people can get a hold of you. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Everything you said was honestly gold. And I think so many people, especially in their early 20s, getting out of college, will resonate with so much of what you said. So I just want to thank you for your time and all the advice that you gave today. It was so good.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. This has been so cool. I cannot wait to listen to all your episodes. And this is amazing.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Hannah. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening again today. I hope you love this episode as much as I did and realize that it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are for that matter. You can start taking the steps to pursuing your passions and turning those passions into your paycheck. If you love this episode, I would so appreciate a review on iTunes. You can totally subscribe too if you want. And also let me know what you thought of this episode and your biggest takeaways from it. I'm so grateful for you guys, and I will talk to you next episode. But for now, peace out.